good evening, everyone. Coming up, the Soul Savvy Show with Q Lynn Green and EB. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be off the chain, I promise you. You're listening to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Alright, everyone, it's what you've been waiting for all week. I know I have, for the Soul Savvy Show with the fabulously outrageous Q Lynn Green and the milder side of that duo, EB. Good evening, folks. How are you?
Good evening. How are y'all doing?
I'm great.
Good. I'm looking forward to a fabulous show. I understand that you have some outstanding guests. And I just want, I'm going back into the background here. But Q Lynn, You seem to get your feathers a little ruffled this morning when I was talking about Prince versus Michael Jackson. What was that all about? Which can make it hard to get air in.
So I talked to my doctor, and she said it's some could help you breathe better. Starting within five something going on in the background. Oh, never mind. Okay. I thought I was hearing stuff. I was like, what is going on? I know I had an edible earlier this afternoon. I was like, I know I'm not tripping in here. Okay.
See what I'm talking about?
Okay. whatchamacallit? When I saw that post, first of all, I didn't notice it until EB, I was talking to EB, and he was like, man, what's wrong with your people? And I was like, what? I was like, I thought you were talking about last week's show. I was like, oh, that's just Haley, whatever. I was like, I told you before that. And then I get on Facebook, and then I see all these messages talking, like, dirty about, like, the music royalty of Prince. Like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, I was like, we didn't ask for this, like, this early. It was a perfect afternoon, sunny outside, and y'all, like, just trying to diss my man's Prince. Like, what is going on with y'all? But, yeah, y'all got me worked up, and then y'all got me, like, going over the edge and going back to my old deactivated days of talking trash. I try to put them behind me, but y'all make me go there, saying outrageous things that people can't sing. I just don't know how to take it when people say that about Prince.
I was having so much fun. I was holding my side. I was having fun because you were just going.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were dancing. But yeah, I was going to, we're going to get to that a little bit later. We'll probably get to that whenever, we get to EB's, website. When we start talking about his website, we'll probably talk about the little debate thing y'all want to do. I don't know why y'all want to debate it, but we might get to it during the, savvy news or whatever. So, I was laughing earlier. It was like something crazy that happened today, and I was telling EB about it. Before we got on, I was telling him, like, right before we got on, like, what did you think of that? Like, ain't that story crazy I told you?
Listen, I'm laughing because I'm listening, but I'm like, I know when I go back to my hometown, the same type of things happen. Like, I'm always putting these crazy situations with these people who remember me from when I was 10 years old. And, man,
I tell you what, when them things got out of that shoebox, I was ready to go. I was like, all right, I just skated out of the door at that point. I didn't even care. Like, I was like, no, I don't want your nephew's Yeti-O cuisine. I'm good.
Wow.
Like, I'm really good. But yeah, this is why I dip in and out of my hometown. I only stay to see a few relatives that I love and enjoy being in their presence. Everybody else, they're not necessarily relatives. They're like relatives of friends. And sometimes, you know how like black people do, they call people like they play aunts and cousins.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of that on some sides of my family. Like they like embracing people that's not really family. And I'm not really for that because I'm like, no, because some of these people I don't need to be associated with and that we related. And I'm glad we're not related by blood.
We don't
I'm like, no,
blood.
We still need to have it. And then they think I'm bougie. Am I mad because I don't want to put my drink in tap water ice? Like,
no.
Am I wrong for that?
No.
Am I wrong for that? Am I wrong because I don't eat everybody's food at everybody's house?
Listen, you
shout out to people that's the first they get their EBT and stuff and have people follow them to the store. y'all still do that. Like, that's crazy to me. Y'all still find new ways to hustle on that thing. They like follow me to the store. I'm like, what? Y'all still do that? I've been doing that since way back in the day. Black people, I ain't even just black people no more, white people. And that's the crazy thing about my hometown where I'm from Arbor, Oklahoma. And it's like a mixture of all different kinds. Like now it's like way more multicultural. It's like all different kind of religions and backgrounds and stuff. It's like it's becoming like a really like big small city, if that makes sense. It's like, it has more, it used to be like a real, like, town folk, like, real country, but now it's, like, grown to something a little bit, and it's just,
right.
Like, on one side of town, it's like, they call it, like, the good side of town, bad side of town. Bad side of town is just basically, it's not necessarily, like, crime filled or whatever, but it's just a bunch of raggedy people walking around, like, pretty sure they're on drugs, like, 100% of the time, people that's asking for gas, asking for rides, they ain't got gas money, that kind of stuff. Like, I have so many stories. Like, I can actually tell y'all stories, like crazy stories. Like one time a crackhead got in the backseat of my car, asked me to take him to the casino. I didn't even know him. And they were like, can you take me to the store? Take me to the store or whatever,
just
they
like
or
that.
Go to the casino. Yeah, just like, I swear to God, like I got 100 stories like that. Oh yeah, we got so many updates. First off, before we even started, we should have got some digital sage. First, let's do that real quick. Let's just,
we gotta get some kind of
situation going on right here. I'm like waving my hand in the air right now. I got some invisible sage right now to get rid of, and then also William trying to create the disrespect, trying to create that energy, that disrespectful energy that Haley left. I don't appreciate that either. We gotta get rid of all this bad energy. That's why he wants to talk about this. He wants to talk about Mike versus Prince going in later in the show. We not doing that because we not fixing to have y'all disrespect. First off, don't you ever say Prince can't sing. That's never gonna happen. We not gonna debate that because
there's no debate.
My musically trained deals.
There's
we're
no
not fixing to do that.
There's no debate. He can't sing.
We're not gonna do this today. See, you trying to get me worked up on the air. I was gonna wait until our guest got on. They're a little held up. I'll wait till we get on to start the debate, but right now we're gonna get into these, excuse me. We're gonna get a little bit to these updates. We got so many from last week. Last week's show was crazy, and we got so much feedback from that. Like I said, I wanna ask EB, what did you think of that? Like, didn't I tell you she didn't like Prince? I told you.
Well, most people say, oh, I don't like Prince or so-and-so doesn't like Prince. But if you play a song, like, if you play one of the popular ones, like Kiss or Wanna Be Your Lover, Purple Rain, anything like that, you know, they at least will nod their head, you know, thump their feet a little bit. Nah, she was like, ew, why?
See, I wish I could have described to you more of how much she didn't like him. And then she tried to act like she told me this multiple times. She did not, for the listeners. She told me that she said this one time at that party that I told y'all we went to, and I didn't even know that. And at the time, she was probably like freaking 12 anyway. So it was like of course you don't like Prince, because now she could get away with it a little bit. That's what I was saying, because she's young or whatever. So she didn't grow up in the era where Prince was like, because when she was born, she was taking naps on that. Well, she wasn't even born when he was at the peak of, in the 90s, like early 90s. Like she was.
Right, by the time she came along, he was mad at the world and he wasn't recording and he didn't want none of his stuff released, so
I get that, but yeah. Everybody else, like Will and my friend Alan, they can all get it, cause my friend Alan texted me and he was like, you didn't even go in on her like you did me. I was like, well, she ain't 55 like you are, Alan. He's really 40. No, I'm kidding. He's in his mid-30s. I'm joking. Sorry, Alan. You gotta get these jokes. You're a grown-ass man with a man bun. Get out of here. Okay. All right. I'm done. He's gonna get so mad if he hears that. Sorry, Alan. I gotta tell the truth. But yeah, I definitely cussed him out. Now I'm trying to figure out how we got on Michael versus Prince anyway, because I was telling a story about being drunk at a Morris Day show, and a lot of y'all took that and ran with it and was like, nah, Michael is the one. I'm like, that wasn't even the point of the story. I was talking about how I didn't know, my deep appreciation for Prince, how deep that went, that I was willing to argue and get kicked out of a show arguing about Prince. So I was just casually saying that, like, yes, Prince wins that debate all day, and then y'all just took it and was like, nah, Michael is better than this, 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 this. I don't want to hear all that. Get out of here. But yeah, it's a bunch of, man, let me pull them up, because we got a whole bunch of them.
To be continued. Okay.
See, he just ready to go. Will just so, he said, I thought he had went to get his drink. He must have poured it up real quick, that Pinot Grigio, and came right back. He ain't got off the mic yet.
Nope, not yet.
All right. this one is from, oh man, they were giving it to Haley. They said that, a lot of them said that I need to cut her branch from his family tree. And then they said that if she's top five cousin, she needs to be 77. That's what somebody from, the guy, I think that was from JB. He said she needed to be top 77 cousins. Like, add distance cousins and everything.
Wow.
That is hilarious. Oh man, they going in on Haley. Good, that's what she get. Don't be on here disrespecting Prince. She deserves every piece of these comments that's for Prince. There you go. Now they on my side. I don't know why these people talk about. I'm trying to sum up on Facebook. They were talking about the Michael Jackson thing, whatever. Oh, people was like the Usher joke. That Scooby Doo reference. That was hilarious.
Oh man.
That was hilarious. I almost choked on my drink when you said that. I was like, that is hilarious.
Like, that's what he tried to play it like that.
That's pretty much what he did, too. That's why it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is hilarious.
Oh, and they appreciated thank y'all for appreciating the theater, the Juilliard
right.
impression of the 90s movies we were doing. They love Juice. They love that, and they want us.
So.
Somebody wants us to. I don't know if they want us to say their names because it's in the email. It's not in my comments. Usually, they give me pretty clever names on the website, but this is the email, so I don't know if they want me to put their name out there. But this quote, this one, it says that they want us to quote Boomerang in a Lowdown Dirty Shame again. And they want me to do a Lowdown Dirty Shame again because they said I forgot a part. I think I did about the Keenan Ivory Wayne said when he was like, coffee's good with cream but better when it's black or something like that. I forgot that part. They was like, that's the best part and you forgot it. I told y'all I just thought of that when I told them to think of quotes.
Listen.
That just popped in my head. I didn't tell them to. We didn't rehearse
we
that. Like
y'all,
I told y'all last
week. We don't rehearse. Anything. It's all, y'all got it.
So me quoting is just from my memory of these movies. And some of these movies I haven't seen since they came out. So I'm trying to remember based on that. So, look, they said they want us to do that again, Boomerang. They want us to do, Strangay. They want us to do it. Listen, I don't know. I'll put on the spot because it was in the moment. I don't know if
it
I could like redo it. It was in the moment and I was hyped up. So, I don't know. I got to feel it. I don't know. I'll get back to it. I don't know. Now I can't think. I'll try to figure it out. We'll get it together. And, I'm pulling up another one. This person is from, shout out to Chicago. Thank you, JB, for sending out all these emails. JB Rock, he be sending out a bunch of emails. He's from Chicago. This one says, we forgot Poetic Justice. Boys in the Hood, and Menace to Society. I was naming my personal favorite movies. So those aren't
my
personal favorites. Like I've seen them before, but they're not my personal favorites that I would watch like over and over again.
Get killed so many times. I can't.
And his mama was trash.
Oh yeah.
Ricky's mama was trash as hell.
Yeah, she was.
Cause like even when he died, like she was like blaming Doughboy for it. I'm like, you're a trash ass mama.
She treated Doughboy like, whoa. Like
I don't even. I thought it was funny though.
How he turned out.
Yeah, I thought it was funny though in the beginning. She was like berating him and stuff. She's like that's what your ass always do. Just sit up here and just eat up everything and just hang outside all day with your little nasty ass friends or something like that. She said, I forgot. That was funny. He was like, yeah, are you done? And she was like, yeah, whatever. She was like, I forgot what she said. That shit was hilarious. And that was the only funny part of her in the movie. And then she was trying to get with Trey's daddy. I'm like, girl, if you don't get yourself together, y'all live like right next door. Like, that's awkward as hell.
She didn't care.
And then, Ricky's baby mama was crazy too, cause she put the baby, like, had the baby next to the daddy all on the, they put it all on that sofa with the covers on it. Was it, the plastic covers on it? I was like, what the hell is wrong with y'all?
Used to have plastic on their couch.
I don't know why they didn't leave Ricky where he was, cause that was no purpose of putting him on that couch. I'm like, why did y'all do that? What's the purpose of bringing him there? Like, leave his ass in the middle of the street and call the police. Like, I didn't see what the purpose was of bringing him back to the house. Like, that was weird. I was like, what? And, you know, they didn't have no budget for makeup because they all was looking ashy, you know?
Yeah. I think Nia Long was the only one in the movie who looked decent.
They was all looking ashy, even Morris Chestnut. He wasn't looking like, I was like, nah, he ain't cute in this movie. He a little bit too ashy looking. Lawrence Fishburne was cute, though.
Lawrence Fishburne, he was real good, too.
Who? Oh, yeah, she sure was.
Yeah, we only got to see her for a little bit, but yeah. So her, Lawrence Fishburne, Nia Long, that was it.
Heck yeah. And they said Menace to Society. I didn't really care. Like, that's, I guess, like, that's how I feel about it. It ain't that great to me. I think I watched it maybe one or two times. That's it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that great. Somebody said Forrest Gump, and they said they named off Forrest Gump and You've Got Mail. What the hell is You've Got Mail?
You've Got Mail. Oh, is that
Megan Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Megan Ryan in that movie and Tom Hanks.
Yeah, no, we're not going to add that to our list.
That ain't my list. I mean, I don't think I've seen it before.
Forrest Gump was good.
Forrest Gump was good, but it ain't no movie I watch over and over.
Right.
Forrest was... he was like... He said something. He was like, when he was in the Army... What was it with Bubba? I forgot what the hell he said. I think it was in the narrative. I mean, when he was doing the narration, he said something goofy. I was like, what is wrong with you? Talking stupid. He's like, Bubba never went back after that. Like, duh, you think? Like, he died. Like, he said something stupid. That's not like he didn't see Bubba no more. Like, of course you didn't see him anymore. He died. Like, that's what happens when people die. You don't see him anymore.
That's it. I mean, once they did.
Oh, shit. He was so, oh, my God. He played that role good, Tom Hanks, because I was like, yo, this dude. And then they was quoting, what is it, Box of Chocolates? That's what the name of his email is. I'm like, yeah, that's probably
Box
the.
Box of Chocolates.
I can't even do the impression right. I forgot how he did it.
Box of Chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yep, that's it right there. You did it perfectly. You never know what you're going to get. I forgot. I can't even do it right. But, yeah, and then Jimmy was a hoe. Like, what? He shouldn't have got back with her. He touched his child. I don't even know if that was his child. Was that his child?
I don't think it was his child. I think he was pregnant.
Oh, excuse me?
He took responsibility.
And then she curved him so many times. Growing up,
yeah.
And then, well, she a stripper. I don't want to say she's a prostitute in the movie. Was she a prostitute too, or was she just a stripper? I can't remember.
I think at one point I think what happened was she got on drugs, so she started sleeping with people for that.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, you don't skeezer. Then you don't try to come back years later when he got his life together, like, met the president and stuff and pulled his drawers down and stuff. What was that? Why did he do that? Did he pull his pants down in front of the president or something and show where he got shot? Oh, yeah, when he came back from the Vietnam War and they showed him where he got shot at or something.
Wow, I don't even remember that part of the movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, met the president. But, yeah, she came back, like, years later. He and guys, like, together ran a marathon. He's like, I just felt like running. Like, what?
Okay, that was good.
I just felt like running, and I just kept on running and running and running. And then one day, I just stopped. I was like, what? He's like, okay, y'all can go home now. I'm like, what? They're in the middle of, like, in Iowa or something. he walking, he just running, and then it just randomly stopped. He didn't got the whole beard looking like a hippie and stuff. Oh my God. That show is so, that movie's so stupid. Like
that
watching
movie,
that now.
Back, yeah, it is kind of. Why did we let that get country? Like, I don't know.
I was just mad that he went back to Jenny. I'm like, she's a hoe. Like, why did you do that? Like, you could have picked better. And then she died in the movie, too. And then he had to raise the little boy. What was the little boy's name? What's his name? Forrest Jr. or something?
I think it was Forrest Jr.
And then he, like, was staying at the bus stop until he, like, he just went to school, like, 7 or 8 in the morning. He said he go stay there until he get off the school bus again. Like, what? Like,
right.
Go home. Like, you don't have to stay there. Then he stayed there the whole time in the, oh my God, that show, that movie is kind of stupid. Like, I think just because how he was, it's not supposed to be funny, but it's funny at the same time, I don't think. But yeah, that movie's crazy. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I know I forgot the other songwriters. When I listed out the songwriters, I forgot the most important one, Brian Morgan. That was my most important one, and I forgot it. What? Dude wrote, like, every hit for SWV.
Right, he gave
still making
his
hits.
Whole career.
Yeah, he's still making hits because he had made one for Tamar not too long ago.
Oh,
yeah, on, I think on that last album she put out, I think he wrote on
it.
Oh,
wow.
And I'm trying to think of what else. But yeah, man, that show, last week's show was crazy. Oh, my God. Y'all still, let me pull up some more. They talking about, oh, somebody said they like my Charles Barkley impression. I didn't think it was that good, but y'all thought it was good. I was kind of sick that day because I was getting over, I had a little cold and I had the sniffles and I was coughing a lot through there. And so I was trying to do that. So I could have gave y'all better. I used to be real good at impressions, but I didn't stop doing it. Like, cause you just gotta focus on the inflection of voices and it's pretty easy. But I try to, like, focus on that. But, yeah, Charles Barkley, he's an idiot. It ain't hard to sound like an idiot because there ain't really
right,
no effort
I was
into
gonna
it.
Say,
so.
Yeah, it's just be idiotic. There you go.
Y'all want Boomerang again? What did we say
I,
in
I
there?
I think it was you, but I don't remember.
No, they were saying they want you to say, who was it again? Oh, here it is right here. Somebody said they said you won't do the brother's gay one. Your brother's gay. They said do that again.
Oh yeah, she was like, you're not gay. I'm not gay. My brother is gay. He's gay. thank you very much.
Your brother's gay. That was perfect. That was good. I'm trying to think of the one. What else we? Oh, when they said, okay, this is the assault. Of sex. She threw panties in my face. I can't do this, Marcus. She's gonna wave her panties in my face. And then she was like, I want, these are the names that I want for my fragrance. After birth. What is that? What'd you say? Cause I can't hear it. After birth. No, I thought you said after bath. No, that was B-A-T-H. I said B-I-R-T-H. After birth. But I just wanted to say something that don't make fun of me.
That's a classic. Eddie Murphy's a genius.
And, dang, I was trying to think of the one for Tisha Campbell Martin. I can't think of her.
That was the one that I said, yeah, that was the one.
I was trying to think of the one where that girl, what was it, a Robin Givens character was on there, and she was like, he a dog, don't you trust him, girl, he a dog. He's like, you know, I know, or something like that. She said, I forgot what she said. It was funny, but yeah, that little girl at the when they went to that school. That's my favorite part. Because she was like, "This is the house. This is my fish. This is the fishbowl." He was like, "Well, why'd you put the fish in the fishbowl?" She's like, "Cause I didn't want them there." He's like, "That don't make any sense."
the way she looked at him, though.
I know, and then he was sitting there, she's like pointing a finger and giving him sass the whole time, and he's sitting there like behind her doing the same thing she's doing, and she turned around and then rolled her eyes back and went back. And she's like, this is the house, and this, And she looked at him, and he stopped. And then she went back and was like, this is a fish. Oh, my God, that is hilarious. That's my top favorite movie. And then Low Down Dirty Shame, they want us to quote that. Okay, I'm going to try to bring it together. I'm trying to remember.
Okay. Q-Lan.
They want me to do.
Q-Lan? EB?
Yeah.
You guys talk about favorite movies, and what do you guys think about Harlem Nights, which happens to be one of my favorite?
Oh, that's
the 80s. That's one of my top favorites, but that was an 80s movie. We were talking about 90s movies.
Well.
If it was an 80s movie.
Okay.
It came out in 89, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was
1990.
Well, come on, you know about the movie. It was right there. Come on. Are you going to let a year separate?
Q-Lan. Yeah, Harlem, yeah. Say what? My favorite part in Harlem Nights is when Arsenio Hall, he thought Eddie killed his brother.
Right.
And he followed him, and then he was like, I'm gonna get him. And then they in the car, and then Eddie caught up to him, and he started shooting, and he killed the dude that was drunk. He was like, you killed, who did he say he killed? I forgot. He was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And then when they finally, closed the mouth, and he had went into that abandoned building, and he shot it over and went through there, and he was like, quick! He was like, you killed my brother then! He's like, you made me shoot one of my boys in the back of the head!
Yo, and then the dude had the little gun.
The dude with the little pistol!
Yo, Arsenio went hard. Let the dude shoot that little motherfucker, no man.
Do it again!
Oh, that little
mother,
no more.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm about to fall.
Harlem Nights is one of the greatest movies of all time.
It is. Oh, my God. It is. That's the funniest part.
Even the part when Richie called his wife. He's like, yo, operator.
Oh, my God.
He's like, hey, baby, put your mother on the phone. Hey, yo, Barbara, this is Richie. I ain't coming home no more. Take it easy.
Oh, yeah, that was the best part. Oh, we got to do a couple more quotes when we come back from break. Right now, we're going to break, and we're going to hit us with that back-to-back Fate, because our debut album anniversary was a couple days ago, and so we're playing Fate all show.
just the magic that we share. Something between us two.
Real good. Faith Evans.
Hey. Come on, Faith. Sing the song, girl.
It doesn't get any better than that. This is the Soul Savage Show. With the fabulous and outrageous Q Lynn Green and her more humble sidekick, E.B.
Oh, man. That hey, man. Was a joint right there.
Oh, man.
I was over here rocking.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that was so good. Hey, Q Lynn, that was
man,
so good.
Listen, that album right there, I know people say this all the time. They say, don't debate me. I hate some people on Twitter and Facebook when they say something. They're like, don't debate me. And most would be trash. But this album, all-time best R&B album, like, for real. Like, always, like, what's one album you can name that the song, besides the songs, the interludes is just as good? Like, where have you ever seen that happen, where the interludes are just as good as the songs, besides Jodeci?
You like, only, I'm gonna say Mary J. and Jodeci, but I'm gonna say you only see that because Faith has written on those projects.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. Listen, come over. I was gonna play Don't Be Afraid, but I was like, nah, cause Falling in Love is the joint. I love Don't Be Afraid. Don't Be Afraid is low key, she was getting curved in that one.
Yeah.
That song is really about her getting curved, if we're being honest. She's like,
the whole album.
And I'm not down, baby, don't be. Like, that sound like you trying to stalk somebody. That's what it sound like, Faith. Low key.
Talking biggie.
So you trying to?
Yeah. Hey, Q Lynn, what song was that? I have. Don't Be Afraid. I'm looking at right now. I don't know. Shucks, we can do whatever you want to do. This is a Soul Savage show.
Like. Oh no, we just talk about that, giving reverence to the best songs. Like every song on there is an album cut. Like you can pull it off and listen to it. I was just saying it was hard for me to choose between those songs because they're so good.
Yeah.
Like,
all of them.
Dang, trying to pick all of them. Let's play the whole album. I was like, nope, because that's going to take in too much time in the show. But if we could, we would. But we're just going to play the few that we got. But, yeah, we get to Raggedy People News when we run out of time. We're going to talk about Faith Evans' album some more going to Savvy News. But, yeah, Raggedy People News, I'm glad we on a little bit because I honestly don't feel like talking about all these people, because it's just, especially the Joel Osteen thing. But yeah, it was. You want to start there? Or do you want to go somewhere else?
No, we can actually start right there with Joel.
Yeah, because that was the one that like people have been going crazy over like all week. And for me, to be honest with you, I didn't care. Up until the point where he was on the news talking about it, and then when it came from his mouth, and I was like, ah. Basically, people on social media, were asking, from the ones that I saw, they were asking why the Lakewood church that, Joel Osteen pastors at, why it wasn't open, because it holds over 17,000 people. And I was like, that seems like a legitimate question, but I was like, maybe floods or something like that. But then, it was people doing their own investigations, and they were going there and saying, oh, what flood? What you talking about? Are you sure? Are you sure it's a flood? Because it looks pretty dry over here, especially on the highways. It looks pretty clear from here. And there was a lot of people doing those things on there, and they were, I guess, the people that work for him or run his Twitters and stuff was blocking people that were asking questions about it, and it was a lot of mix-up. That's what I was going to ask, did you hear what the initial statement was with Joel Osteen? Because I heard so many different things, but I never researched it to see. Did you see it, what they were talking about?
I didn't see the initial statement. All I knew was once it came into question why he didn't open the church, there were people on there posting like, well, no, the church is flooded too. And they were posting fake pictures of I guess, another church that was flooded. I guess, I don't know if they intentionally posted them or if they thought it was Joel Osteen's church. But then the truth came out, and as soon as social media called him out, then he decided to open the doors of his church for people who needed shelter or relief from the hurricane.
Right.
Hey, may I ask a question or make a comment? I know a lot.
Hold on just a second. I think somebody just... Hold on. Is this Tiffany?
Yes, it is.
There we go. You came just on time because you was the one getting the most backlash online for your out here getting the Facebook Christians all riled up on Twitter.
Oh, yeah,
on Facebook yesterday. You know, Facebook cousins, when they get a hold of on Facebook, they go buck wild on there. So you came just in time. So we got the journalistic credibility going on right here. So we talk about Joel Osteen. If you want to jump in, the listeners, y'all familiar with Tiffany. She's been on the show a couple times. She's pretty much family at this point. She's come on so much. But, if you want to, you can break down I was asking, EB about, like, all these different statements that were coming out about, why his church wasn't open. So if you want to go there and then get to what the real truth was, you can do that if you want to.
Okay. Well, basically, the first story that hit was that he was saying that, you know, that the church was flooded. And many people, you know, they debunked that because they went to the church themselves and was like, the church is not flooded. And so a good friend of mine actually interviewed him that in Houston. She works for CBS. And he said at the time it was released that he didn't say it was flooded. Members were saying it was flooded and that they were asked to be a distribution center. And so then she was like, well, are you going to open the doors? He said they were checking with the city. So then what ended up happening was somebody issued on Twitter through the Life Church, you know, Twitter account, that they were opening the door. So then she calls back, and this was Monday. So she calls back, and she's like, you know, so you just tweeted out that you guys are opening the doors. He said, yeah, the doors are going to be open. Then all of a sudden, if they weren't open until Tuesday, which I understand, you know, the church needs time to prepare, whatever. My whole thing was is that why I knew that he was lying was because why not just say that? Like, if you knew, you know, why go through all of these stages? Why say, oh, it's flooding? You know, it reminded me of when someone asks you that you really don't, you know, mess with like that. Hey, can I stay at your house? I gotta work. You know, you start coming up with all these excuses on why you don't want this person in your house. And that's exactly what it was, because he knew that if he said, you know, hey, the city wants me to be a distributor, people wasn't gonna trip. So if that was the truth, he should have just came out with that from jump. But no, it was, it's flooded. Then it was, oh, we're working on it. You know, it was just all of these different excuses before the truth came out. And you could tell, because if you see the interview that he did, the very first interview that he did, right whenever he opened the doors, you know, he was tight. He was tight AF because he really didn't want to open them doors. Like, dude was up there with a bitter beer face. So,
he was mad. Yo, his response, though, on TV was trash. I was like, nah, bruh, the whole time. Because at first, I was giving a little leverage because I didn't know how to feel about it at first. Because first off, I don't even know him like that. Because when I heard his name, and I was like, it took me a minute to figure out who that was. And then when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, that's the blinking-ass dude. I was like, oh, that dude that got the soft-ass meditation voice when he be preaching. I'm like, he got the softest preacher voice ever. God loves you, and he wants to hold you tight in his arms.
He wants to hold you tight, my brother.
Just like a little old baby.
Is there one that will come and give their life to the Lord today? He wants to rock you in his arms like a newborn baby.
Right, and the crazy thing was the other pastor that called him out got backlash on Twitter. I'm like, y'all, like, you know, they're being a Christian is a gang. Like, dude, you can call somebody out. Please calm down. You know,
calm the hell down.
You know what I'm saying? He over there mad like we talking about your mama. So then that's whenever I had to, that's when my petty power is activated. And I did kind of low-key turn into a troll. But that's just because, I mean, at this point, you're ignoring, you know, facts. If you've been presented with facts, and you still want to make it about something else, then now it's time for me to put my, you know, be petty boots and start putting up memes and stuff that I was laughing at hysterically. So
that was, you were really out here. I was like, oh, man, Tiffany going in. But because I caught the end of it, and I was like, oh, man, she's going in. And then all the Facebook Christians was like, they were like, you don't have to use that language to talk about a man of God. I was like, oh, man, I don't cuss it. And then I was tired of people making these trash-ass analyzations of, like, why don't you ask the clubs you go to every Friday to open up their doors? But, like, what? That doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about?
It makes zero sense.
Trying to be, that's what killed me. They be trying to be so savvy and so, try to be so, clever and stuff, and it don't be funny. I'm like, I'm gonna need for y'all corny ass dudes. And it's all these people that, they just like get, like you said, they were in their feelings. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then as hard as they were, whenever they, the people that were actually, I was telling them that when they were showing like videos and pictures of like what it looked like. And then people were like photoshopping like old ass pictures. I don't know where they got those pictures from. A church being flooded. And I was like, that's not the same. That's not what that is. And then it was like,
not to cut you off, but that's the thing about those pictures that I meant to address. The dude, if y'all watched the interview that he had with Good Morning America, he actually said that the church flooded, I think he said like in 2008 or something, when I think around Rita hit. So those pictures were old as hell. So I'm like, y'all, and they was the same four pictures. I'm like, now y'all know y'all wrong for supporting this lie, trying to dig up old ass pictures. You know what I'm saying? Because he said in it, said himself, he said that the church was not flooded this time, except for in the basement. And that's where that one picture came from, where it was like a little bit of water, and then you saw like the flood fans, and it was like towels. That's where that came from. The rest of that crap was from like Hurricane Rita.
Right, and then the crazy thing about it, they like completely neglected that part, because a lot of them would get attitude. They're like, see, he opened the door. Did you happy now? Like, why you got that attitude for it? Like, that's what churches are supposed to do. Like, that kills me. People miss the whole point of Christianity is to be a service to people. Like, why? And then the crazy thing was him saying that he didn't know that he was supposed to open the door. Like, what? What? This is a tax-free organization. Like, I'm going to need for you to be the first one to respond, if anything. I mean, not even trying to say you taking all the money at your church, because I'm pretty sure you got other husbands, like, selling books and all that stuff and all that other stuff. I'm not saying you get it from that, because I'm pretty sure you don't get your money just from the church. But it is a
tax-free, all these different
3C. Yeah, so I'm going to need for you to get that together, sir. And then all you Facebook Christians, let me address you real quick so we can move on from these raggedy.
A lot of y'all used to eat glue as a child, so I don't feel like y'all opinion should be valued by anybody. I don't care how many followers you got. Like, I feel like we should make that point. Some of y'all used to eat glue as a child. You used to read with your finger underneath the words. You used to get scared when the teacher called on you in school. You stuttered when you used to read in public. So I'm trying to figure out why y'all feel like y'all opinions matter so much on the internet. That's why I want to know. Why do you feel like your opinions matter? Y'all read it, the things that y'all read, y'all don't know what y'all reading. Y'all don't understand facts. A lot of y'all try to be Facebook journalists. It didn't work out for you. I'm trying to figure out, like, words mean things. Facts mean things. When you do Facebook journalism, it'd be cute for y'all to kind of bow out gracefully, but y'all just make it worse by piling on the stupid stuff y'all say. So, you know, you kind of weed out people thinking you're intelligent by posting stuff that I would just say, if you're going to post some stuff, make sure you know. And then what kills, they try to flip it and say that people that were trying to investigate why the church need to be open, they were saying, oh, you ain't got your facts straight. And they try to flip it like that. I'm like, I don't think you got your facts straight, because you and Joel Osteen are saying two different things. You saying it was flooded. He said it wasn't flooded. So what's going on? He said a little bit.
That's what I said. I'm like, how are you?
He said the attic room was. He said the attic room might have got a little bit of water, like a little pool water in the attic room that they ain't went to in 5 years. Like that room might have got some flood damage. Like what?
No, the part that killed me was when they was like, well, what is Beyonce doing? And when they said that, because I knew that she had already pledged. I said, she gave $10 million. What now? Ask El Paso what he did. Like,
right. Man. Yes. Quiet.
But it's just, I mean, here's what I want people to understand. Like, all jokes aside, people need to understand, especially those of Christian faith. Because I used to be a Christian. I used to work at a church. I used to do all that, and I was there from sun up to sundown. Number one, that is the responsibility. That's the responsibility of the church, especially a church of that magnitude and within that community. You're in a community that is flooded and you're not. You better open the door. Like, at the end of the day, that's your responsibility, especially when the majority of your tithes and offerings come from people that's affected in that community.
Right. You said it right.
Is that they need to learn how to accept that people are going to point out shit. It's not always like, oh, well, we're doing, people are coming, I was trying to be a Christian to be hated. No, that's not true. At the end of the day, people need to hold people accountable. The same thing that they do to these rappers and all this other stuff, they're trying to shame people. Well, then you can't get mad when the same thing is pointed back at you. You got somebody that claims
that we're supposed to be giving, you know, and all this other stuff, and yet sat there and both things lie, so he wouldn't have to open them damn doors. So you can't get mad. It ain't no shot at Christianity. It's a shot at one person. So I'm
this is a shot at one person because he's doing exactly the opposite of what Jesus would have done.
Thank you. He said, no, not in my house. Goodbye. That's all it is. But just be real with it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only thing that was really making me mad was because people, if you said something, people automatically try to say you were anti-Christian. And it's like, that's not true. We're talking about one person who made a mistake. And even if he came out and said, I would have respected him, real talk, if he'd been like, you know what, y'all? I wasn't trying to open them doors. But I've seen a need. So, you know, and I got Twitter did shame me a little bit. So I went ahead and opened the door. That was my bad. You know, because we've all dropped the ball. But see, but whenever it comes to people of Christian faith, a lot of times they want to point out the mistake, but they don't want to admit of their own. And that's the only problem that I've ever had with that faith in general. I have a lot of friends that are Christian, love them to pieces. My mentor is still a Christian. But that's one of the main concerns that I have.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I ain't going to add no more to that because you read them. I'll just say your Facebook cousins, you used to eat glue as a child, so your opinion doesn't matter. In fact,
I have a comment. Q-man?
Okay, quickly, so because I was about to say something else regarding it.
Okay, well, thank you for allowing me on your show, okay?
No! Put your Pinot Grigio down. Pinot Grigio down to comment.
This is really serious. I saw something, now, I didn't read this, it wasn't a rumor, it's something I heard, it's real serious, about Joel Osteen. There was an interview a couple of days ago, I saw this and I heard him. And the question was asked, this very thing that you're addressing, it says, well, why didn't you open your doors? He said, out of his mouth, he said, our doors have always been open. He said that there are 30 shelters within a certain mile radius of this church. We were just waiting for the overflow. That's what he said. And it's entirely different from what I've been hearing, and I wanted you to address that. That's why I've been trying
to. Yeah, it was completely contradictory because he said, how you say that you're waiting, but then at the same time saying that you didn't know you were supposed to open your doors. Like, it's two different things right there. And then he was stuttering and stuff before he would say the thing. I'm like, oh, he lying because you said everything else. Because anybody that stutters that much before they say something, you lying. Because if you telling the truth, you ain't got to. And then I heard a bunch of other stuff, like you said, his member saying that it was flooded. And then I just think it's too much of a coincidence that when people started questioning you on it and trying to make you hold you accountable, that they're blocking people instead. Because if you were like being honest, then you would have just said that from the beginning, we're waiting to see. And then as soon as we find out, then we'll open the doors. You could have simply tweeted that and people would have been rocking with you. They'd be like, okay, we cool with you. Because I've seen people do that all the time and say, I'm waiting to hear back from such and such or whatever. Because I know it's a lot of things. And that's what a lot of them were saying, that, oh, it takes preparation and all this other stuff. Shut the hell up. Like, see, getting revved up again with these Facebook Christians. I saw what y'all saying on there talking about people, like y'all saying, what you donate, what you doing. Like, I know a lot of people that were hypercritical of it and trying to basically hold this pastor accountable, but why is that equal to them bashing? I'm trying to figure out how the correlation of that is. If you don't agree with this pastor or whatever, how he's doing it, then you're bashing him or being negative. Like I feel like it's two end of a spectrum arguments, and I feel like it's completely one dimensional when people do that because it's stupid. First off, it's stupid to me. It's like if basically they're trying to hold this preacher accountable, like that's what you're supposed to be doing, and it ain't has nothing to do with trying to say he's a fraud or any of that stuff. It's just like, yo, dude, do your job, do what you're supposed to do. Like that's basically what it is. But what I was gonna say, I have. I hope that answered your question, Will. I thought it was contradictory what he said because it didn't make any sense to me. But I sent on Tuesday. I saw a tweet on there. It was a lot of people that had addresses on there to send because people needed like immediate help. And this address that I'm about to give, if people want to give. To a lot of people using the hashtag Houston Strong. On Twitter, somebody sent, you can send this to the Bay Area Church on, you can write it down, Bay Area Church, 4800 West Main Street, League City, Texas, 77573. Those one addresses they need diapers, hand sanitizers, quick prep foods, baby wipes, and air mattresses. I think I sent a lot of hand sanitizers. I just bought a whole bunch of them at CVS. And you get a lot of these you could buy at CVS, Walgreens, or Walmart, Target, wherever you shop at. You get these air mattresses. I know that church needs that. So, again, Bay Area Church, 4800 West Main Street, League City, Texas, 77573. You can send stuff there. And I had an organization. You can look up the mayor of Houston's organization. You can send donations there because I know a lot of people were talking about Red Cross. I don't suggest sending any donations to Red Cross at all. So that's just my opinion. But
that's my opinion.
No, I agree.
Yeah, but I know for sure I sent a couple of donations to the mayor of Houston's organization. You can Google it. I wish I had it up on me right now. I'll give it to y'all. That's Raggedy People. What is it? You had some more in there. Talk about Sheriff, the dude. I don't want to call him Uncle Tom, but the Black Anglo-Saxon, that's what I call him.
The Black Anglo-Saxon, all right. Sheriff David Clark has resigned from his position as sheriff, and there's really no word on what he's doing, why he resigned, where he's going next. I think it probably has something to do with Trump. He might be, you know, he might have a new position. You know, Trump, he'll hire you and fire you in a minute. So he might have a position with Trump's cabinet. Who knows?
Oh, man. He got, you said, wasn't it some kind of controversy or something? The jail, was he over a jail or a prison? And they were saying something about how he was, like, doing, like, dirty stuff in there?
Yeah, he was over a jail, and it was, like, allegations of abuse and misconduct and all this other foolishness, which I believe, because, you know, it's Sheriff David Clark, and he's already proved that he don't care nothing about anybody who is not himself or President Trump. Donald Trump. I'm calling the man president. This is crazy.
Right, exactly. I know you slipped the Orange A, Tampico. There
right.
You go. You get there.
Right. And then, in addition, you said I couldn't call this Raggedy News. So I'm gonna call it like Babgedy News. Going back to rehab.
Why is he gotta be in Raggedy People News? That's kind of good, ain't it? That he's going to rehab and getting it together.
It's great that he is going to rehab again and getting it together.
He said again. Did y'all catch that?
No, I'm. It's,
he said again.
I commend anybody with a substance abuse or addiction problem to seek help, but it's the situations that led to it. So he was on house arrest. I guess they were thinking that would get him clean, but he had his lawyers talk and, you know, kiss ass and do whatever they had to do to make sure that he did not have to adhere to the house arrest. Like, he was just in Atlanta 2 weeks ago performing. Like, they would go get any excuse to be like, okay, well, you know, he works, so he got to go here, he got to go there. So, of course, it's hard to stay clean when you are still running with that same set of people, that same crew where you were doing your dirt, and that's what he was doing. So while I commend him for checking himself into a rehab facility again, I don't know. It's a little savvy about that. It's just a little, I don't know. I ain't feeling it.
No. I give him a benefit of the doubt, even though he like a major like drug addict and stuff, but man, he made like classic songs, and it's hard for me to like distinguish from that because they were so great.
Right, right.
But yeah, I can't say nothing wrong about it. It's sort of like with Bobby Brown. Like, I can't let none of those drugs. He's probably I can't let those jokes flourish on the internet.
Did y'all watch the Whitney documentary?
That's what we're gonna talk about in Savvy News. We're gonna get to that. I guess we can get to it now because that's all I'm so glad we didn't have that many Raggedy People. Like, but like, how many was it? Just three? Good God, because we can't do this shit. Yeah. I can't, because them Facebook Christians, like, I ain't got the energy to give it to y'all, because y'all dumb, and y'all reading comprehension, I'm pretty sure, was at, like, zero in school. Like, y'all didn't pay attention to nothing.
Right.
Like, you can always tell the people that never, what they failed in, like, when they spelled, they don't know how to spell they are from there, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, you didn't pass English, and then when they don't know what city they in, I'm like, oh, yeah, you didn't pass geography. Like, y'all telling yourselves all day, but it's funny to me. But, yeah, we're going to get to Savvy News. We talk about – I actually watched that twice because it was actually good to me. He's talking about the Whitney Houston documentary. When did that come on? I was trying to pull up when that came on.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't? Why?
I wasn't in a good headspace. I just saw, you know, all of the tweets, you know, trashing Bobby Brown, and
why would they do that? Because he wouldn't have caused of it. See, people got a whole different, perspective on this,
right,
their marriage.
That is why I get angry, because people paint Bobby as this monster who came in and Whitney was an angel, and he changed her.
Them ain't facts at all. They told y'all that, and that's why you gotta watch the documentary, because they didn't do none of that. They didn't do no bash. I love the doc. It's called "Can I Be Me." It's a documentary. It came on. I'm trying to. They basically, it came on August 25th. I think it was on Michael Jackson's birthday. It premiered on Showtime. And they basically, the documentary centered around her 1990 tour, and they were saying that's the beginning of her demise. And it was like, after all, she said her creative director and rumored lover, Robin Crawford, walked away, and stories of Whitney's drug use were reaching fever pitch. It kind of ties into that. But the reason why I love about the documentary, because they had everybody that she was close with, except for Pat Houston, the She-Devil. They didn't have her in there, thank God. They actually had Sissy on there. But, yeah, they didn't have the She-Devil on there.
Sissy was on there?
Uh-huh. She was on there. Uh-huh. And it wasn't, because some of the clips, they didn't have Bobby on there. They had, like, an old clip where he was talking on Behind the Music. They didn't have him on there, but they for sure had Sissy on there. But I was like, thank God they did not put She-Devil on here, because she's the devil. I don't care what nobody says. She is the devil. And so is Clive Davis.
Wow.
But that's a whole nother story. Tied in with that, I'm going to talk about that later. But the basis, I loved how they had the musicians that was on the tour. They had her drug counselor on there. That I think during 2003, when she was going through rehab, they had her on there, and they had one of Bobby's sisters on there, and I'm trying to think of who else. But yeah, pretty much anybody that has something to do with that tour or that used to back for Whitney, musicians, like real musicians, you know, like Kirk Whalum, the man.
Right.
But yeah, they had him on there. They had a bunch of good people on. So it wasn't like trashy, like white journalists on there that be trying to, like, make it gossipy and stuff like that. But yeah, it was really good. They even had quotes from Robin Crawford gave them quotes too. She wasn't on the documentary, but she gave them quotes for them to do the documentary. But yeah, it basically was like following the 1999 tour, and it's like it was supposed to have been like unseen footage. And yeah, she was definitely high on that tour. But
I mean, I don't remember seeing Whitney not high.
Right. But I loved the whole basic.
He came out and said that she was the one that introduced him to cocaine and stuff, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Right.
Because her brother, both of her brothers was on there. That's why I was glad. What's her name wasn't on there? Pat. I don't even. Are they still married? Her and, what's his name? Her older brother?
Gary.
Yeah. Are they still married? Because she wasn't on there.
Honestly, I'm not sure if they're still married.
Yeah, she said. Sissy, well, he would, when Sissy and her other brother, Michael, when they were, is that his name? Michael, I think that's what his name is. Michael were on Oprah's show, and when she was interviewing him, he said he was the one, and they said on there that she was doing drugs at a young age. So she was doing it way before, because Michael said he started doing it at 10, like, I was like, damn, what was going on in the Houston house where they was doing drugs at, like, that young? And then, I'm not even trying to be funny, but, yeah, it was like, wow. Like, I didn't even know that. And then they said that it was one of Whitney's childhood friends. She said that she would go over there, and she said that Whitney was, like, around, like, almost, like, this was around when she almost got her deal with Clive, and she was doing drugs then. Like, smoking. I know for sure she was smoking cigarettes, and then I think weed, and then I think that's when her brother got her on cocaine, like, really early in the 80s. But, yeah.
That's kind of lines up with what Bobby said. I mean, people can't.
Yeah.
Bobby always got a bad rap. And that was always.
And then.
They always do Bobby like he just the asshole of, you know, of everything. He New Edition of the marriage.
Right.
And, you know, the. Right. And the person that was over there, the A&R that started out with Whitney at Arista, he was on there, the one that did her image. That he was in charge of her image. He was on there, and he said that at that time, that's when racial issues were going on. He said he had to do it like that for her to, like, his main goal that Clive said was for her to be a pop artist, and that she couldn't do. Yeah, and so he was on there, like, spilling everything, and it was good. Like, it was informational. And I think in totality, what I got from it was that all of this is, like, spam from her, like, drug usage and stuff like that from her, and she said one of the interviews was her mom, Sissy, like, having such a strong hold, like, her bond was closest with her dad, because they were the closest, but she wasn't that close to Sissy, and Sissy was, like, really church going and all that stuff, and so all that stuff, she never felt comfortable until she got around Bobby, like, to be herself and all that stuff. So I was like, man, I was like, that's so deep, because I was like, man, she spent her whole life, like, not, like, being her true self. And then when she was her true self, it was, like, drugs that was influencing that. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then Bobby said something, like, really, like, it wasn't meant to be profound, but it was, like, a sort of a epiphany of their relationship, because he was on the tour with Whitney at the time, on the 1990 tour, and he said it, they were asking him about it. He's like, man, I love my wife. She's a great mother. And he was like, she's the sweetest person, but she could also be the meanest person. I was like, wow, that said so much, because, like, he's saying she's sweet, but at the same time, she has that thing in her that can, like, switch at any minute. And if y'all watch Being Bobby Brown, that's the true Whitney right there. That shit was...
That was real Whitney.
That was the real Whitney. And people said, oh, that ruined her career. I'm like, nah, that was really them. Like, y'all just was mad because y'all, everybody saw her as, like, America's sweetheart, and that she was, like, she was from New Jersey. Like, she's from New York. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, she's straight up from the hood.
And she forgets, too, that she was
going
to run up on Wendy Williams a few times.
Oh,
like,
she was
gangster about it.
Wendy,
she was like, oh, you got words? Like, it, Whitney wasn't on no America's Princess after, you know, people, she just was like, F it, I'm just me, I'm be who I am. Once she became that Whitney, she wasn't playing. So I don't know why people be trying to make it seem like, you know, like, I don't know. It's kind of
and,
like that.
Right.
They give somebody like with Janet Jackson and anybody that came up in the 80s because they had to come out being a sweet, innocent person, I think, when they become themselves, well, when Janet Jackson was being super sexual, everybody gets so upset. And it's like, dude, you realize these people are grown. Like,
they're
people. You know, same thing with Beyonce. Everybody was tripping when she, you know, was cussing, when she first started cussing and everything else. I'm like, again, she is grown. Let her be grown.
Right, and the crazy, and then another piece to that was like, that summed it up in totality by her not being her full self was the Robert Crawford rumors of that being her girlfriend. And that was like, she was with her for a long while from like the 80s until that tour, because they said after that tour she didn't see her anymore after that, because it was, if you saw the footage of that, that's why it was a great documentary, because it's a lot of stuff that's like, you see that, you got to look at the body language. And when they show the footage of when Robin and Bobby was in the room together, like, they, it was really like, you can see like they were uncomfortable around each other. And then it was like one footage of where he was talking to the camera and Robin, he put his arm around Robin, and she like looked like she was disgusted, and he was like, this is my nigga right here, and she was just sitting there looking like, get your hands off of me, and he's like, and he was like, you go after her, you gotta go through me, or something like that, and she was like, nigga, yeah, right, that's how she was looking when he said that. I was like, yo, like, they really, and then it was one where they were all taking a group picture, the whole band, and literally, Robin was beside Whitney, and Bobby was next to her, and they were both, like, looking like they were fighting to, like, be next to her. That was crazy. Like, it's, like, little stuff that people don't notice. I was like, yo, that's some shit going on right there. Like, just from looking at that footage, because they said that the reason why Robin left, because she was tired of, like, having to compete against, because they said they used to fight for Whitney's affection, both of them. And she said she was tired of it. They said that she was tired of it. And then I think Bobby was mad or made, tried to make Whitney choose or something like that. And then she just got tired of it. And she left during the tour. And then it was like one show after she did I'll Always Love You, she got off the stage and started crying. Like after that. But she was like trying to keep it together, but it was like tears. I was like, yo, this is crazy. And then they were like saying that after that, that's when she went like that. She didn't even finish that tour, they said, and that's when she started getting into drugs heavy after Robin left. Because they said that was the only person that would, like, get her together. But I was like, man, that's crazy. She couldn't even, and they, yeah, and then I think Sissy said everything in that Oprah, they pulled that one up and said that, would you be mad if Whitney was gay? She was like, hell yeah. I was like, man, that's crazy.
Wait a minute.
That's crazy, too.
Yeah. She couldn't be her authentic self. And then on top of that, like, I know, like, I think most parts of drug addicts is that they don't have accountability. Like, she was, like, so codependent on other people for affection. And it was somebody else. I think it was a friend of hers said that they didn't think she was a lesbian. They thought she was bisexual. Because if you were that kind of person that she could, like, share information with and be, like, feel like you could protect her, then she would, like, latch on to you. So they said she thought she was bisexual instead of lesbian. I was like, that makes sense. But I was like, yo, that's crazy. You couldn't be your authentic self because your mom, you weighed everything on your mom's opinion, but yet you were still doing your dirt in the dark to where nobody knew. And then it just got up to the point to where you couldn't control it, and then everybody started to notice because I didn't know she overdosed during the Waiting to Exhale movie. No, yeah, it was Waiting to Exhale movie. She overdosed. I didn't even know that. They said that in a documentary. Wow. I didn't know that. She overdosed. And the security guard, one of her security guards actually filed something to where tried to get her help, and they fired him like shortly after that. After he did it, he tried to help her, wow. And because he was there doing the bodyguard and everything, like he was there right. From I think late 80s till 95 until that movie, he was there that whole time. And after he tried to get her help, he got fired.
Well, kind of listening to what I mean, and this is obviously just based off because I haven't seen that documentary, so this is kind of just based off what you're saying. I mean, the reality of the situation is that if she was feeling some type of way, meaning that whether she was bisexual or lesbian, and you come up under a super religious household, so you know that your family's not going to approve, and then at that time, there was all that stigma around homosexuality because, you know, mm-hmm. She came up during the whole AIDS epidemic, so everybody was frowning upon it at that point. It wasn't like the 70s. So that wasn't a lot to try to keep in. And then you have to be with somebody that you really don't want to be with. The person that you desire to be with is now not messing with you no more. I could see why she kind of would, you know, out there like that. If that's something that she had been holding on to for a long time.
Yeah, and from what they said that she loved both of them, it was that when Bobby started cheating, she would turn to Robin, I think. From what they were saying, because I think she wasn't worried about the cheating until Robin wasn't in the picture anymore. That's what I think. I think once she left, and then that's when she had the issue with the cheating.
That's deep. That's
yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, yeah. People don't even look at the layers of, like, how deep they relate. Because I think they were in love, Bobby and them. I think because she had Robin, she had both of those things at the same time. And when that became imbalanced and he started feeling jealous, and his ego got in the way of that, and he had, she had to choose, and then when she chose him, like, that's when she started spiraling, and it all makes sense to me. That's crazy. Like, it, I mean, how deep that is, because it was like she couldn't be her authentic self, and then when she felt comfortable in the marriage, she was still leaning in on drugs, and at that time, I think that's when Bobby was cheating heavy, and she was having miscarriages, I think, during that time period. I think before Bobby Christina and all that stuff, and when she was shooting these movies, and then she, I didn't know she overdosed and waiting to exhale. Like, if that wasn't a wake-up call for her, like, she was so deep into it, into the drugs at that point, it was probably no, like, turning back for her, because she, like, went in and out of rehab. So I was like, man, this is deep. But, yeah, people blaming Bobby, like, that's so old and tired. Like, if you see this documentary, and if you see everything else, like, he clearly wasn't to blame. I think whatever it was, the vices they had, like, she turned to cocaine, like, he picked that up, and then he smoked weed and did others and drank a lot, so she picked up those habits. That's what they said in the documentary, that they just traded off on their vices, and it just started getting, like, bad. It's just crazy. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of what else we were going to talk about. Oh, yeah, LeVar Ball. He got his own, like, reality show on Facebook. I think
on
the
Facebook,
first...
Facebook Live?
No, like, Facebook, like, the social media network. Like, they got... He has his own... Like, if you go to wherever the name of the show is called, you can see the first episode there.
Wow.
Now, people feel some kind of way about it. I personally like LeVar Ball because I like his confidence, because it can be, you can see it as, some people see it as outrageous. I see it as him, like, being completely confident, and he's completely about laws of attraction. Like, he speaks everything he wants in existence, like, and I don't see no problem with that. To me, people,
right.
Now the media hypes him up. I don't understand that, because he says outlandish stuff, like he can beat Michael Jordan. Like, whose uncle in your family doesn't say that? Like, at every family gather, like, when you go to Labor Day cookout this weekend or on Monday, they're going to be like, yo, you know, I used to ball with Sean Kemp or Gary Payton back in the day. You know, I used to beat him, right? Like, you know, every uncle in your family, like, makes up stuff like that. Knowing they used to start on JV. Not on varsity. They used to play on JV, and that's it, in high school. Like, what uncle, you know, don't say that? So I like his confidence, because people thought he was crazy when they said his son was going to go to the Lakers, and he did. He got drafted to the Lakers. But, yeah, I like him. I like – I just
–
I watched some of the show, and it's hilarious to me, because he'll be like – he'd be like saying crazy stuff, and he'd be like, I'm gonna cook you pancakes and stuff like that. I was like, he'd be in the kitchen, like, cooking and stuff. He's like, these gonna be the best pancakes you ever had, huh?
Is it a show following his life, or
following the him, the kids, his three sons. Just, it's like the way it's produced is pretty cool. His three sons, oldest son that's drafted now, that just went in the NBA, they're following him. And then also it's like different layers to it, because his wife got sick, I think some months ago, and they're like talking about that too. So he has like a different sides to him on it. I think people should watch it, because people call him arrogant and all that stuff. If they watch the show, he's pretty like well-rounded guy. I like him. He seems genuine
right.
to me. It's just that people don't like loud and confident people. And so they get mad when they see people with that much confidence. I'm like, if you put some of that in your life, maybe you would prosper or something and flourish. If you had a little bit of confidence. I like them. I bought at least three shirts. They should be coming to me. Now, they are pricey. I will say that. Now, some of them shoes, I was going to buy some of them sliders. It's like some feet you just stick in. They was like $200. I was going to buy them for my dad. I was like, hell no. I don't love you that much to be buying these. They over $200. Like, you can go to Walmart and get like four pairs for like $10. Like, no, we ain't doing this. And I don't like some of it. I bought like two shirts that have, one of them was like, have like red and black. I love the logo. His logo is cute though, with the three B's on it. I like that. I bought one women's V-neck shirt that was cute, and then two shirts I was getting from my dad, two men's shirts. I'll probably buy some more. I'll probably get some hats on there because I like them. But they're like over 50. I guess I'll pay $40 or $50 for them hats. They're cute. But yeah.
Wait, each or total?
Huh?
$40 or $50 or total?
Yeah, $50 a piece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. You gotta wait on payday to get some of them. For some of y'all, y'all will pay right up front because it will cost you. You go to that cart too many times, it's gonna be over $100 for real. But yeah. Shout out to, I'm gonna buy some more of his baller brand. I like some of it. It's cute. Y'all was hating on the shoes. Yeah, they kind of ugly, but still, you still got some good stuff on there.
Man got money.
Right, exactly. I'm trying to think of what else is in. Oh yeah, talk about Faith Evans. Oh my God, this album. Tiffany, how much you love the Faith Evans debut album? How much you love it?
I actually like the album a lot, to be honest.
You there like it?
I did like it. I did.
No, that's not you. You spell you saying love wrong. Go ahead.
I really did. Break my heart.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The only reason why I liked it, though, was because of the fact that it was a long time coming. Yes, it was chopped up vocals that we done heard 1,001 times, but yeah, I think it was the closure that she needed, and it was a decently put together album. Like, I'm not going to sit here and bash the album like it was, I don't know, some other crap that's been put out, but, you know, because I was the only thing I was upset about was she said it was going to be some unreleased vocals, and I'm like, now Faith, we done heard them all.
No. We're talking about her first album in 95.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the duet album.
You're talking
about no.
Tiffany, you are the only person like in the world who listens to the duet album.
I said the debut album. I thought I said duet. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I thought you said the duet is the king. I don't think you're talking about the king.
I can get how you got that mixed up. Okay.
I done pulled out my albuterol. I was taking the pump and everything. Tiffany, don't scare me like that.
Right, girl. I was like, what?
But y'all know I'm about to still
say
the same answer because y'all
didn't
like Keep the Faith.
Keep the Faith is my second favorite. Faith Evans. What you talking about, girl? It came in 1997. Caramel Kisses. Sunny Days. Oh, my God. The song we put. The first Faith album.
Yeah, with her Faith on it. As soon as I get home, it had all that on there.
Yeah, that one.
Well, I got the name wrong, but yeah, I like that album. Yeah, as soon as I get home, it had.
You still saying love wrong?
On there.
You still saying
like
love wrong?
Faith album. Listen, you was a Mary J. Blige fan. I was for real. Coral.
Yeah, I'm all but, Mary all day.
Yeah, the black shades, the cover, the black eye, Mary. I love that Mary.
Yeah, a lot of hardcore Mary fans hated Faith. She brought that edge, that she brought that soft edge to Biggie. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so mad that Spotify or wherever else they stream the Faith Evans album, they took that duet off there. Cause I'm like, or I think it's just, I don't even know if it's on the original album because I haven't listened to it in so long. But they took, that's the best one. Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the story behind that. Cause they both have different stories, and I'm going to tell you who I believe at the end. So what Faith says is, they recorded, they did a cover of Rose Royce's Love Don't Leave Me Anymore. What Faith says is they recorded the album. She goes into detail about how Mary came to the studio. Puff had this song he wanted them to sing. Mary was able to go into the studio and get it right, like on the third take. But for Faith, Puff kept seeing her liquor because he still didn't feel he was getting the feeling from her, so she did a couple more takes, and then the song came together. Faith says she doesn't know what happened, but after the album was released a couple months later, she just got the call that Mary was unhappy about something, and Mary wanted her vocals taken off of the album. So Faith had to go back in and re-record the song by herself, and that's the version that's put on most of the reissues today. If you got one of the original copies, you got the version with Mary and Faith. What Mary says is she don't know what happened. She don't know why the song got taken off. I believe Faith because I know I love Mary. I love Mary, but I understand how she could feel back then that, you know, she was like the cash cow. Puff loved Mary. Like, she is his favorite singer. That's why he only has to do it a couple times because he was like, no, you got it. But she felt that he replaced her. And, you know, Faith was the new it girl. And not only that she was the new it girl, but she became the it girl by being basically a clone of Mary. Like,
pretty much.
Take you to the studio. We're gonna do your hair like Mary. We're going to put you in clothes like Mary, you know, sing the music that Mary sings. And even to this day, Faith will big up Mary. She will talk about how Mary is so knowledgeable at all things soul and music, how she's the queen. But Mary's always kind of like, yeah, you know, I like her. She's cool. You know, I haven't seen her in a while. Y'all just saw each other last year on the Bad Boy reunion, and it was like y'all didn't even do anything together. I think I saw a picture of them together. But other than that, I think it was a thing where Mary just, you know, she was young. We forget Mary was only like 23, 24 at the time, so Faith was, I don't know, a little younger. So they were kids, but that's what happened with that song. But that is still one of my favorite songs on the album. If they're both of them, if it's just Faith, is something missing.
They was really fighting over that eight ball, if we're being honest, but that's just me. But
you know, and you know that the hatred of Faith is what made Kim and Mary become good friends.
Yeah, they bonded.
Oh, yeah, they sure did.
Yeah.
Bopping in that I Can Love You video better. Like, and if it happened with Tanisha and Rhonda, what?
What? Yeah, they Faith Evans, you know, she brings people together. Biggie and Tupac, Mary and Faith.
Hysterical. What we gonna do right now? We gonna go to break, and I'm trying to fit in EB's website. We gonna try to fit that in before we get to the topic. We gonna be talking about comedians. I feel like we gonna get to EB's website because he was dropping some joints this week, and he was hot out here with that Jermaine Jackson versus Michael Jackson brother feud. So we gonna get to that after Will plays this song. We go on the break right now. If he's not drinking his Pinot Grigio, because I don't know where he went. He didn't let me get. Okay.
Hey, we're having a little technical issue here. Let's see what's going on. We'll figure it out in a second. Interesting.
I don't know what's going on. I know you need to put that Pinot Grigio down.
No, I'm working. It has nothing to do with Pinot.
Pinot.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right, tell you that. No, there's no technical problem. No, this is live radio.
Live radio, people.
Yeah, this is live radio, y'all. So.
Yep, this is live radio.
Yeah, we ain't got no editing equipment. This is live radio.
Okay. All right. Guess what, you know, you're going to get what you want here in a second, all right? Just hold on. You know, you haven't been one to have patience anyway, right? But that's okay.
I have patience of Gandhi. That's how much patience I have.
Oh, my goodness. Gandhi has.
Oh, I feel like doing the I feel like doing the impressions now. We're going to do that until he finds these songs. What was it, Low Down Dirty Shame? Yeah. Last week, Tiffany, if you didn't hear it, we were talking about the top best 90s movies, and we got into it. Like, we were just listing our favorites, and then I was just like, well, just say a quote from the movies, and we got really into it. And then do the Grace Jones ones again. Do the Grace Jones one.
You're
the Strong J.
I know Gay. I'm not
Gay. Y'all get into this Faith Evans real quick. We'll be back. My jam right there. I'm over here. She gave y'all gospel harmonies mixed with R&B and hip hop production.
All of it.
All the ad libs. All the riffs. All the interludes. She gave y'all everything on that album.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she got the best ad libs ever. Like, this is undebatable. I know I told you I hate when people say that on the internet, but this album is undebatably great. 22nd anniversary of Faith Evans' debut album, and it's completely perfect all the way through. When's the last time you listened to an album all the way through and it jams all the way through? Every song jams, even the interludes.
I call it.
Girl, love the interludes. That's back when interludes was popping. Shoot, them joints was on point.
Heck yeah.
Big thing.
And the way she stacked her vocals too. What?
That is good interlude 5-1-12.
Mm. Oh yeah, and
like I said earlier, because she wrote on those, so that's why.
Yep, sure did. They were on the Keep the Faith album too. They were writing on there and doing the vocals. I know they did the vocals on Caramel Kisses. And you know what? I didn't even know. I forgot Kelly Price was on that album too, killing it.
Listen,
given
when you sent me your song, and they were both Faith songs, I almost sent you Kelly songs, but I was like, oh no, you know what? This is about Faith, so let's keep it going.
I would like
Faith and Kelly.
Yeah,
they right there together, neck and neck at the top.
Heck yeah! And then on top of that, I think Dave Hollister was doing vocals on there too, but he wasn't credited though.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Some of those songs. Yeah,
he was doing vocals for everybody, but he never got credited.
Heavy nerd credits we giving right now, but yeah.
Yeah.
The intro to the show, that Al Johnson song, like that was Faith Evans sampled that on Sunny Days.
Faith, yeah.
That Al Johnson song,
and
jam.
Mary,
let's talk about how iconic that song was. That. I was listening to that all today because I have a vinyl of that Al Johnson. It's a duet
right.
Album. But yeah, that album is
Dean Farr.
What? I'm messing up the come back for more. All right, I'm getting excited thinking about that song. But yeah, what we gonna talk about? EB talking, man. Your internet, your website is crazy. First off, I love your layout. I love how you got your vinyl on there, and it's like just moving.
Yeah, of course.
That's so dope.
Thank you, man.
Your
thank
graphics
you.
Is dope on there. And I looked at the whole article, specifically the Michael versus Jermaine one, because I remember I read L.A. Reid's book, and I remember him talking about Michael and how petty he was, and talking about when he found out that Jermaine was, they were getting ready to write songs for Jermaine, and he was like, no, y'all don't have to do that no more, basically. And Jermaine was pissed about it, made a diss song, and then it like completely disappeared after like Michael got involved with it and was like telling every DJ not to play it, and one DJ in particular had it, and somehow that song never played again.
Never played again.
Oh man!
But
yeah,
the funny thing is Jermaine is not the only sibling who has said that. A couple of his other siblings have also said. They had these songs, they were trying to do it, and Michael made calls, and then their songs disappeared.
I could see that happening. You know he was, like, real competitive.
He was, but I'm like, you are Michael Jackson, the king of pop. Like, there is no competition with you and any of your siblings. Janet is the closest you're going to get to any type of competition.
Heck yeah. I was on whatchacallit, we was on Taco. But yeah, what you call it? Jermaine had joints though. You like me, don't you? That
yo,
is the joint.
Jermaine,
you can't say
let me tell you something.
That's the joint.
I think Jermaine messed up. Like we were talking earlier about Whitney with Clive. Jermaine messed up with Clive. Everybody.
Yeah, he could have just made R&B hit, and he would
have
been good.
Hey, Clive wants everybody to be a pop artist, and that's where he messes up because everybody can't be a pop artist.
Heck yeah, not with Jermaine's old shiny ass face. He even back then he couldn't be no pop hit. That shiny ass face, like, nah, dude, you black clubs only with that face. Wear all the shiny outfits you want.
Man.
But yeah, you want to talk about topic we're supposed to be about the best comedians of all time. I'm just, oh my God, it's so many of them.
Yeah.
But it would just be personal favorites. Who's your personal favorites?
Personal favorites. Paul Mooney is number one.
Heck yeah.
Always.
all time.
The funniest person I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And I've seen him in stand-up so many times. And he's like the genius behind Richard Pryor. So Richard Pryor would be like my number two. And then you got people like Red Fox, Moms Mabley. Yeah, you got who else? Robin Harris, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, first of all. Eddie Murphy is, I don't think that he's fully appreciated today, because Eddie Murphy was like the second coming of somebody like Richard Pryor. He was somebody who was able to be a black comedian and take that beyond a black audience. That I think that started with Eddie Murphy.
Take it.
He is definitely in one of my lists. Who are yours? Tiffany, who are yours?
Where'd Tiffany go? She's still on? Tiffany, faded out.
Oh, Tiffany.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Face
yeah,
black.
There you go.
Okay, my phone been tripping. Okay. Yeah, I'm over here struggling with some issues on my phone, on my end. But so I missed a question. What's going on?
Oh, we were saying the best
comedian.
Oh, old, new.
We could do old and new, but we could do old right now.
Okay, I'm going to say, well, I have a mixture. So it would be Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, Martin Lawrence, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle. Those are my top five.
I like that.
That's nice. That's a nice list.
Yeah, I like that.
Mine, yeah, absolutely, Paul Mooney. Dick Gregory is for different levels because I like him more in a civil rights way. In that kind of way, I watch him all day. His jokes, they're good as well, but yeah. Paul Mooney for sure, because he got, every time I've been thinking about his jokes, he said one joke in particular, which is a serious issue, but the way he said it, like, brought, like, a little levity to it. He's talking about, how white therapists talk to black patients and stuff, because they don't ask you, how they say the question that's offensive. Because they'll assume, they're like, how long have you had herpes? Like, they'll ask you stuff like that. And he had a joke like that. And he said he went to one. He was like, I thought that bitch was playing the dozens. He was like, they got some freaks up in there. And she was like asking me, have I ever touched my mama's pussy? She was like, well, what about your mom? He was like, well, what about your mama's sloppy ass pussy? Your sloppy ass mama. He's like, I thought she was playing the dozens. He was like, they got some freaks up in there. They was like, don't go back in there no more. They got some freaks up in there all. That's my favorite. I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it was funny how he said it. But yeah. I'm trying to think. Dave Chappelle for sure. I just like that whole era because I saw his comedy special, but way before I saw his Chappelle show on Comedy Central. And
right.
He was just so clever how he told jokes. And I love his white man's voice. His white man's voice is like the best one out of everybody. Any black man trying to do an impression of a white man. His white man voice is spot on. I'm trying to think of some more. George Wallace, because he's very clever. I like how he sets up a joke. He's very clever. Man, this is hard. Because I wasn't even thinking about it because I thought it would go off the top of my head. I'm trying to think because I know I have some more. But, yeah, I think those are my three. Now, Corey Holcomb, I think I add Corey Holcomb in there too. Corey Holcomb, I think that's about it. I don't think I have a five.
Corey Holcomb is hilarious. I'm a fan of political comedy.
Yep. Paul Mooney is definitely my top of all time because he be shit. Not only is he like how he sets up jokes is good, but he be really preaching on there. Like he be giving like history facts, like real history facts when he be talking. And people get mad too. I know for sure one show I went to, they walked out on. I'm like, why you walk out on Paul Mooney?
Yeah, so I've been to a couple of Paul Mooney shows and they never fail. But there's always at least one white couple in the audience that will get up and walk out. And I'm always like, did you not know you were going to see Paul Mooney? Who did you think you were going to see? This isn't Jerry Seinfeld. This isn't Elvis Costello. This is Paul Mooney. Like, He's going to talk about you.
Right. Oh, I just thought Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor. That's who I forgot. He is my all time. So that's and Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy is close too. But yeah, Richard Pryor. And I know people, that's like cliche for people to say, but Richard Pryor was really funny. And I think for one, me like what really envisions me of not like doing drugs was when he was talking about how much drugs he did. And he said that he did so much coke he could snort Peru. I was like, all right, I'm never doing drugs because that is a lot of that's a lot of coke.
No, and
I was like, bro.
His stories were so true.
Yeah,
he was laughing, but he didn't realize. No, he's telling the truth. Like,
that's why it was so funny, right? Now, today's comedians. Who I love, these are my personal favorites. Like I said, Corey Holcomb. Corey is just, like, I love Corey on so many different levels. Like, I've met him a few times. I'm going to try to get him. I don't think I'm going to try to get him on the show. I think I'm going to try to interview him on my website. Because if I put him on this show, like, I think he could do clean comedy, but he's so outrageous, like, people are going to get mad. Because you got to get his sense of humor to really, because he does my kind of jokes that I love. And he has his own show. Right. And I know I have a whole backstory to how I know Corey, but yeah, he's freaking hilarious. But yeah, Corey, Louis C.K., he's my all-time right now. Like, kills it. Louis C.K., Hannibal Buress, he's becoming one of my favorites. He's, like, really clever. I love that. Like, how he tells jokes is really clever. I love him. I'm trying to think of some more. I know some people likes to put Chris Rock on their list. He was dropping like gems and stuff like that about like racial stuff sometimes and politics and all that. I get that, I respect that. But his delivery and his how he projects his voice, I never liked. Like, I hate his voice. Like, how he tells jokes. Like, for real, like, I get why people love him, but I'm not, he's not my all-time. But I get.
You know what, I think he had to have some type of comedic tone or exact tone with the information he was delivering. Because, like Dave Chappelle, notice how when he's getting real political and speaking truth, he gets exaggerated because it's kind of easier to make it seem more like a joke, but people who are really listening know this dude's speaking truth. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I get it completely.
Exaggeration is kind of making it easy for white folks to swallow because Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle both have a large white following. So I think it was, and that's partly on why they're able to do what they're able to do on the platform they are because of their exaggeration. And still able to spit that real about what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I get that completely. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Patrice O'Neal is in my top. Oh, my God. Rest on the Patrice O'Neal. The last comedy special he did is by far the funniest comedy special I've ever seen. It is so hilarious, like, all the way through. Like, he had this one joke that had me dying. He was talking about, he's like, he didn't understand how people didn't like dogs. He's like, it's a dog. Like, how you don't like dogs? And he's like, people feel so passionate about it too. And he was like, look at the, and he was like, talk about a dog commercial. And he's like, and they always get like a white woman to get it. He's like, look at the little baby dog. He's like, donate to this charity or something like that. And he's like, look at that jackal kissing bitch kissing that dog in the mouth. He's like, I'll punch a puppy in the throat. He's like, give me a puppy, I'll kick it right now. Oh my God, that whole joke is hilarious. And then he's talking about like top shelf white woman. And he's like, oh man, he's like, that is top shelf white woman right there. I was like, what? I was like, what does that even mean? He's saying, like, off-the-wall stuff, talk about, like, sniffing chairs and stuff like that. Like, I was like, this dude right here is just, like, off the chain. But, yeah, Patrice O'Neal is, like, definitely in my top. Oh, yeah, LaVelle Crawford. LaVelle Crawford is one of my favorite, too. LaVelle is hilarious.
I'm glad you said that. LaVelle and Dominique, she's a female comedian.
Oh, yeah, she's good, too.
I love her. Anything she does is funny to me.
Vanessa Fraction, Arana Lopez, she's funny too. Shout out to her, that's the homegirl. Yep. trying to think of some more comedians. Tiffany Haddish, I told you last week, she's freaking hilarious. Did you finally see that movie?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, man. Just remember the grapefruit scene whenever you watch it. Oh, my God. It's freaking hysterical.
Oh, let me name Monique.
Oh, yes.
Dale.
Oh, Gina Yasharate is funny, too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Now, people give Kevin Hart a hard time for his specials or whatever. But I don't know. For some reason, somebody... it's became popular. We can talk about it in Savvy News, but Kevin Hart, one of his videos resurfaced. It was a video. They put it, Jamie Foxx versus Kevin Hart. I want to tell y'all, that video is 10 years old. For one, I used to intern at Sirius, and I was there when Kevin, because Jamie had a show called, a satellite radio show called Foxhole Radio. And I used to intern at Sirius, and Marcus King was a part of that whole thing. His old manager, he's not his manager anymore. There's a lot of people behind the scenes. Greg Shelton, shout out to him. Well, I think he died some years ago. While I'm saying that, I think Greg Shelton. But yeah, anyway, I was there in LA and the Foxhole Radio. I came in a little bit. It was like, I want to say it was, he came on either 07 or 08, because that's when I was out there a lot. And when I was there, first off, Jamie has two best friends, Speedy and Johnny Mac, and they are basically his co-hosts. And then I think it was a lot of comedians there. It was like Rodney Perry. They were all like had their own shows. Speedy had his own show. It was called Speedy's Comedy Corner. That came a little bit later. They were doing different radio programming then. And then one of the shows that I was just sitting in on was the show when Kevin Hart was there. And they were basically, like, arguing about dumb stuff, talking about, like, who started on varsity in basketball. And they were just, like, going back and forth. And then they started, like, talking about each other. And then Kevin was trying to talk about Johnny and was talking about, look at your old-ass dreads. And he was like, look at those dots on your face and stuff like that. And then Johnny was, like, doing, like, old-school, like, dozens jokes talking about your mama used to breastfeed kittens and stuff like that. Like, he's saying, like, dumb stuff like that. And they were going at it, and then Kevin was getting like riled up, and he was like, yeah, he was like, and fuck Jamie too, and then everybody was like, oh, and then they were just going at it, and then Jamie was like, they would just started going back and forth, and then Jamie called him a penis built, he said he was built like a penis, Kevin, and then they started going back and forth, and then finally Kevin was like, he was like talking about Jamie's hairline. That's when it started getting crazy. He started snapping on Jamie's hairline, and all you gotta do is YouTube. All people are saying YouTube and search for I think you just type in Jamie Foxx versus Kevin Hart. And when he went after it, y'all couldn't see it, but when I saw it, you had to see Jamie's face. He was so mad he said that. And you could tell because he was over talking him, and y'all couldn't see he was grabbing him. And was trying to tell the joke. He was like, well, you can rub this hairline and get a good movie or something like that. He was saying, but he was over talking him. And Kevin was like, I know that hurt you. He's like, you and Steve Harvey go to the same barber. And he just kept going, and he just kept like throwing all these jokes out there. It was hilarious. But yeah, which is funny because in the comments on this one they said Jamie beat Kevin, but back then they were all like saying Kevin lost. That was crazy. And that was, like, over 10 years old, and now it's, like, getting a lot of, like, buzz. I'm like, this video is, like, 10 years old. Like, where did y'all find this? I was like, but, yeah, Kevin.
I was never a Kevin fan.
But, yeah, Kevin, that right there was, like, yo, he's going to, because at that time, it was, like, a few years before he did a Think Like a Man, because he wasn't on yet. Because he was still doing, like, little movies, but they wasn't, like, real big. That's why, and they were being, like, really shitty to him, because it was mostly Johnny and Speedy that were talking shit about his movies. Like, they were talking about So Plain and stuff like that. Because back then, like, Foxhole, they was going at everybody. So if you went on their show, you was getting it. Like, Mark Curry, he came on the show. I remember one show he came on, and he was telling a story of how he got burned and at his house, and he was, like, doing laundry or something, and he got some kind of chemical on him, and it burned his skin. And they were sitting there talking about they was like Mark Flamin' Curry or something like that. They were sitting there like talking shit about him getting burned. Like, they would go that far with jokes and stuff like that. Like, I remember it was another comedian on, like, named Danny Green, and he had a lisp. and they was like Danny Sucker and Succotash or stuff like that. They were sitting there going in on his list and stuff. Like anybody that went on their show, they went at. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, I understand why people. But yeah, I get why Kevin Hart is popping. But yeah, he really was like working hard. That's why I appreciate his hustle. I don't think he's not my favorite, but whenever he came on Fox Talk, I was like, yo, he got this, because he lit all them niggas up. Like, even Jamie to this day says that Kevin, and that's still all friends. I think Johnny wrote on Real Husbands of Hollywood and stuff like that. Like, they're not friends. They wasn't beefing or nothing like that. But back then, right, like, he wasn't popping like that, so that's why they were making the jokes. But when he got on, oh, man. That was crazy. I was like, but then when I was sitting there, I was like, yo, Kevin is that dude. But he wasn't popping then. And then when he started popping, I was like, oh, see, I knew it. I knew he was going to get on. And that was like a few years before he did A Think Like a Man, because I think that wasn't that the movie he got started with doing all these other movies? I think,
yeah,
that was.
Yeah, that was his first. Because he wasn't even the main character, but he was like he had a nice role in it.
Y'all like Kevin Hart? Y'all like his specials?
I don't know.
I don't think I saw that last one he did. I think Tiffany's still on. I'm not sure. I think she said her phone was cutting out or whatever. But yeah,
Tiffany was having some issues.
So you get rid of that. What is that? What's that one phone? That phone. Yeah, that track phone. Get rid of that track phone.
Metro PCS.
That Metro PCS. I'm just kidding, Tiffany, if you hear that.
I'm sorry, Tiffany. I love you, girl. Don't hate me.
Nah, I was going, we at the end of the show now. I don't know if I did this one.
Can you
one.
Hear me?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you now.
First of all,
Tiffany, that was not me.
Right.
I don't know who that was. I think Will took over the microphone and said something about you having a cheap phone. I don't think that was us.
Yeah. It
was. No.
We just playing, Tiff. We go do the What's Wrong With You game.
Okay. But yeah, it sucks because I really.
Oh,
I'm driving in the country in Oklahoma, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is if you're out there and they're like Spencer and all that stuff. It ain't no.
Oh, yeah, Spencer? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. But yeah, we at the end of the show. It was great. Tiffany came on at the end. It was great. We gonna play the What's Wrong With You game real quick.
Don't hit me with the shade.
I did not. I was now that was completely not shade. See, that's the thing, whenever you're known for sarcasm, people think you're being shady all the time. I was not.
Yeah, Tiffany came on at the end.
Right.
Sorry, I added that. Okay, that part did sound shady, saying at the last minute. That did sound shady. Now I think about it. But it wasn't intentional. But yeah.
You're going to try to put me on Raggedy People News. And they be like, did you see? You got to come on here?
We ain't going to do it this week. We already did Haley, the YouTube vlogger from As Told By Her, being disrespectful last week. We gonna put her back on. She's coming back next week too. And we got another guest coming on. So yeah, she's coming back and she gonna get these Prince hits again, because you don't ever disrespect music royalty on this show. That ain't gonna never happen. So she gonna get these Prince hits again. And I actually went light on her, because I should have played Prince the whole show. That's what I should have did, because I was trying to be light. But I listened to the show back, and she was doing like I heard all the noises on there. I didn't even hear it when we was talking. That's why I'm glad we got audio, so I got evidence of all this disrespect that she was putting on. Talking about I suffered through that. You kidding me right now? Talking about, oh my God, when we were singing Vanity 6. Like, what? That's the jam. But yeah, I'm going off on a tangent, because she's coming back next week, and we're going to hit it again with them Prince hits, because you ain't going to keep coming on this show and disrespecting the greatest, the purple one. You're not going to do that on this show. But yeah, we get to What's Wrong With You game. I think I just got one for EB. Is Mary Jane Girls versus Vanity 6.
Okay. I'm going to say the Mary Jane Girls as my official answer. But technically, I'm going to drop some music history on y'all real, real quick. Technically, Vanity Six wins, because it was actually Vanity Six singing. With the Mary Jane girls, it was never them singing. JoJo, the main singer, you heard her voice.
Oh,
but there
was yep.
a backing vocalist called The Waters who did all the background parts.
Yep, sure
and
was.
The rest of the girls just nailed it. So I like the Mary Jane girls sound better because, you know, I'm Rick James over everything. But Vanity Six wins that one.
Yeah, you won. You won. That's it. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Okay, I got something for both of y'all. Y'all can both answer this one. I got one last one. Okay, who do y'all think had the best men, like the finest men, on their arm? Freddie Jackson or Luther Vandross?
It had to be Freddie.
Really? You think so? I was thinking more Luther, but because, I mean, you know, he was popping at the time. He's popping more than Freddie was.
He was popping, but Luther sang so much about being lonely. I'm like, man, did you ever have a man?
People get mad at that, too. You tell your auntie that, they like, what? You was gay? What you talking about?
Right.
Yes, he was. Any right. man talking about dance made a song talking about dancing with my father. What? I was like, what? What's going on with that? But yeah, y'all, I know I'm gonna get it for that one. Y'all gonna put me in timeout for that one. I don't care. But yeah, we gonna go out with a bang. We gonna quote some more movies. Think of a before we gonna give all these different plug our stuff. You find me at Q Lynn Green as always at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Soul Savage page, soulsavage.com on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm going to give it over to EB.
EB is EB for Prez, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Facebook actually just says EB, so if you go to www.facebook.com/EB for Prez and the number one, that'll take you to the EB page, and the website, www.ebforprez.com.
Tiffany.
Tip H the writer on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all Tip H the writer. Websites, of course, as always, you can catch me on Respect and also The Source Magazine.
Real quick, I'm trying to think of a low down dirty shame. I can't think of one. A quote. Oh. We already at the end of the show. I'll think of it next week. Thank you for tuning in to Soul Savage Radio. You tune in next Friday, every time, 5 to 7 Pacific time, 7 to 9 Central time, 8 to 10 Eastern time. So make sure you tune in the show next Friday. We'll be back.
All right. Hey, this is great. The Soul Savage Show. Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. That's good.